Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Shares sank today in Europe and Asia after President Trump announced he was firing Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook. AP correspondent Ben Thomas has more on the president's decision.
Escalating his effort to exert control over the independent-minded Federal Reserve, President Trump says he's removing Fed Governor Lisa Cook effective immediately. He cites allegations that she committed mortgage fraud. Those come from Bill Pulte, a Trump appointee to the agency that regulates mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And legal scholars suggest they're likely a pretext for the president to open up another seat on the seven-member board so he can appoint a loyalist to push for lower interest rates. On Friday, Fed Chair Jerome Powell signaled a cut could be coming.
The shifting balance of risks may warrant adjusting our policy stance.
But Trump reacted.
He should have cut him a year ago. He's too late.
Last week, Cook said she would not resign despite Trump's call for her to do so. Ben Thomas, Washington.
And Trump has signed an executive order threatening to withhold or take away federal funding from local and state governments that offer cashless bail, arguing that it's a threat to public safety. And in Israel, protesters have torched tires and blocked highways to demand a ceasefire to free hostages in Gaza, as Israeli leaders press ahead with plans for an offensive which they argue is needed to crush Hamas. And Australia's prime minister says his country is cutting off diplomatic relations with Iran. Shortly before the announcement, the government told Iran's ambassador to Australia that he would be expelled. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has accused Iran of organizing two anti-Semitic attacks in Australia. Iran's government has denied the allegations. In other news, a towering dust storm rolled through the Phoenix area yesterday. The storm, known as a Habub, blinded drivers, grounded flights, and knocked out power to thousands of people. This is AP News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Cadillac has played it safe with its first Formula One lineup, bypassing an American driver for series veterans Valtteri Bottas and Sergio Perez. And a recognizable player in women's basketball is getting her own shoe.
There's no higher expectation than what I have of myself.
Caitlin Clark is Nike's newest signature athlete, expanding the athletic wear company's partnership with the WNBA star. Nike has revealed a new logo of interlocking C's to represent the Indiana Fever player. Clark's first signature shoe and apparel collection will debut next year. Her logo collection will launch on October 1st. A t-shirt in the Fever's color of yellow and navy blue will come out a month earlier. Clark has had a huge impact in women's basketball ratings and attendance over the last few years, including setting the NCAA all-time scoring record at Iowa. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
More information at apnews.com. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
All over the country, they're burning flags. All over the world, they burn the American flag.
A 1989 Supreme Court ruling protects burning the American flag as political expression. But President Trump signed an executive order Monday directing the Justice Department to prosecute people for such acts, arguing it incites violence.
When you burn the American flag, it incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy.
The penalty.
If you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. No early exits, no nothing. You get 1 year in jail.
The order also calls for Attorney General Pam Bondi to pursue litigation to challenge the 1989 ruling in an attempt to get the issue back in front of the Supreme Court. Ben Thomas, Washington.
In Washington, D.C., as public schools reopen, over 2,000 National Guard members and other federal officers are patrolling the city, some now carrying firearms after a directive from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth.
I don't believe that troops should be policing American cities.
D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser says parents are anxious, and she's worried that some might keep their children out of school over immigration concerns.
Any attempt to target children is heartless.
President Trump expanded on the crime emergency, signing an executive order Monday directing the Department of Justice and the Secretary of Defense to equip and train specialized units to ensure public safety in the nation's capital. Meanwhile, other Democratic-led cities are concerned about possible deployments. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says his city will file a lawsuit if the president expands deployments there.
Chicagoans are not calling for a military occupation. They are calling for the same thing that we've been calling for some time. And that's investment.
Illinois' Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker bristled at the idea.
Donald Trump wants to use the military to occupy a U.S. city, punish his dissidents, and score political points.
The administration says more than 1,000 people have been arrested in D.C. since the federal intervention began. Trump suggested he might dispatch the National Guard to Chicago, regardless of Pritzker's opinion.
You know, when I have some slob like Pritzker criticizing us before we even go there, I made the statement that next should be Chicago, because as you all know, Chicago's a killing field right now. And they don't acknowledge it.
Jennifer King, Washington.
President Trump is preparing to expand his crackdown on crime in Washington, D.C. to other cities. His focus is on Chicago.
It's a disaster. What's going on in Chicago?
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson called the president's approach uncoordinated, uncalled for, and unsound.
And they say, we don't need him. Freedom, freedom. He's a dictator. He's a dictator. A lot of people are saying maybe we like a dictator. I don't like a dictator. I'm not a dictator. I'm a man with great common sense and I'm a smart person. And when I see what's happening to our cities, and then you send in troops, instead of being praised, they're saying you're trying to take over the republic.
Officials say the crime rate has dropped in Chicago. 2,000 troops have been deployed to Washington, D.C. President Trump also indicated plans to assist New York. Ed Donahue, Washington.
France's foreign ministry officials have met with a representative of U.S. Ambassador Charles Kushner after Ambassador Kushner sent a letter to the French president urging him to act decisively, enforce hate crime laws without exception, ensure the safety of Jewish schools, synagogues, and businesses, and abandon steps that give legitimacy to Hamas and its allies. The U.S. State Department has defended Kushner's comments. France firmly rejects Kushner's allegations that they are not doing enough, and criticism over France's stand on Palestine, insisting that France is fully mobilizing against anti-Semitism. France is home to the largest Jewish population in Europe, with the third largest Jewish population in the world after Israel and the United States. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
President Trump's initial warning to South Korea's president turned into a warm welcome. Before his meeting with President Lee Jae-myung, the president threatened on social media not to do business with Seoul because of a purge or revolution that he claimed was taking place.
I heard that there were raids on churches over the last few days, very vicious raids on churches by the new government in South Korea. That they even went into our military base and got information.
The prospects of hostilities went away when Lee started speaking.
And I heard that you recently redecorated the Oval Office, and I would like to say that it looks very bright and beautiful, and it has the dignity of America.
And Lee called on the president to help with a peace deal with North Korea.
And I think you are much more prone to doing that than other leaders that I've been working with from South Korea.
War leaders have mostly gone the way of praise and adulation rather than confrontation with the president. Ed Donahue, Washington.
More than 180 current and former FEMA employees have published a letter warning of potential disaster due to cuts in the agency. The letter coincides with the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, highlighting concerns about management and capacity at FEMA. It warns that current practices echo conditions that the post-Katrina Emergency Management Reform Act aimed to prevent. The letter criticizes policies like expenditure approval and reassignment of staff to ICE and it calls for FEMA to be an independent cabinet-level agency. 35 signatories included their names, while 141 remained anonymous due to fear of retribution by the Trump administration. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
U.S. President Donald Trump's special envoy for Ukraine and Russia was in Kyiv on Monday, part of a string of high-profile visits as Washington insists it's still pushing for a ceasefire deal. Keith Kellogg said officials are working hard to end the three-year war as a lack of progress has been fueling doubts.
We're hoping to get to a position where, in the near term, we have, for lack of a better term, security guarantees.
Trump has said he hopes to broker direct talks between Presidents Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky, though Russia has signaled such a summit is unlikely soon. During meetings in Kyiv, Zelensky welcomed visiting European leaders and stressed that the presence of foreign partners is key to Ukraine's security guarantees. Norway's Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre pledged continued multi-billion dollar support into the next year.
President, good to see you again. Yeah. Welcome.
Zelensky also met with German's Vice Chancellor to discuss security guarantees and the provision of air defense systems for Ukraine. I'm Nayan Kim.
The Utah legislature will need to redraw the state's congressional boundaries in time for the 2026 elections. This after a judge ruled the Republican-controlled body circumvented safeguards put in place by voters to ensure districts are not drawn to favor any party. The current map divides Salt Lake County among four congressional districts that have all elected Republicans by wide margins since it was put in place. Salt Lake County is the state's population center and a Democratic stronghold. His case has been a flashpoint in President Trump's aggressive effort to remove non-citizens from the U.S. On Monday, Kilmer Abrego-Garcia was again detained by immigration authorities.
There was no need for them to take him into ICE detention.
Abrego-Garcia is facing human smuggling charges, but attorney Simon Sandoval-Moschenberg says
he was already on electronic monitoring from the U.S. Marshal Service and basically on house arrest.
Abrego-Garcia was wrongfully deported to El Salvador in March. He was returned to the U.S. in June, but then quickly charged. Trump administration officials have said they could send him to Uganda this time.
The government is far more interested in throwing around their weight and demonstrating what they think is their power to do whatever they want, whenever they want, to whoever they want.
A federal judge says court orders prohibit the government from deporting Abrego-Garcia, at least for now. I'm Ben Thomas.
Lil Nas X pleaded not guilty to four felony charges at his arraignment in Los Angeles on Monday. The Grammy Award-winning musician faces three counts of battery with injury on a police officer and one count of resisting an executive officer. The charges stem from an incident early Friday morning when the police found the singer, whose legal name is Montero Lamar Hill, walking down Ventura Boulevard in Studio City. Bystander video showed him strolling and singing in white cowboy boots and underwear, but he was completely naked by the time he allegedly charged at officers. Suspecting an overdose, police took him to a hospital where he spent several hours before being taken to jail in Van Nuys. Hill's lawyer told a judge that his client has led a remarkable life, and if the allegations were true, this was an absolute aberration. Bail was set at $75,000, with the singer required to stay away from illegal narcotics and enroll in an outpatient treatment program. I'm Jennifer King.
Former Mexican cartel kingpin Ismael El Mayo Zambada pleaded guilty to federal charges related to his role in the violent drug trade. For years, the operation flooded the U.S. with cocaine, heroin, and other illicit substances, says Attorney General Pam Bondi.
He will die in a U.S. federal prison where he belongs. His guilty plea brings us one step closer to achieving our goal of elimination of the drug cartels.
The longtime leader of the Sinaloa cartel entered his plea Monday in Brooklyn federal court. Prosecutors have said they won't seek the death penalty against the 75-year-old. Zambada's attorney, Frank Perez.
I think the outcome was good. He pled guilty. He wanted to accept responsibility, and he did.
Prosecutors say under El Mayo's leadership, along with Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, the Sinaloa cartel evolved from a regional player into the world's largest drug trafficking operation. Julie Walker, New York.
Hurricane Erin never made landfall, but it left behind deadly rough ocean conditions along the East Coast. In New Hampshire, a 17-year-old boy was swimming with family members Sunday when he was pulled away by a strong ocean current off of Hampton Beach. Witnesses say his father tried to rescue him. Lifeguards brought both to shore and began life-saving efforts on the teen, who was later pronounced dead at the hospital. Saturday, a 59-year-old man from South Carolina drowned after being caught in a strong rip current off the New York coast. And the search continues in Massachusetts for a man who went missing over the weekend after his boat capsized in the ocean. The other person on that boat was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Wildfires threaten homes in Oregon and California wine country, also cause a death in Montana. Curtis Rhodes with CAL FIRE says the Picket Fire in Napa Valley is threatening homes and vineyards.
It is a huge concern of ours. As we know, it is a driving force here in the community as far as income and revenue. So we have strategically placed and logistically staffed up.
In Oregon, the flat fire had about 4,000 homes under various levels of evacuation. Eric Perkins with Oregon Department of Forestry says they've been battling new growth.
I feel pretty good about it. We are starting to get the upper hand on this.
In Montana, a firefighter died Sunday after suffering a cardiac emergency while battling the Bivens Creek fire. Spokesperson Amy Highfield.
Everyone feels the loss of a firefighter keenly. I will say that the mood in camp is a little bit more somber. That being said, all of the firefighters know that there is still a fire that needs to be fought.
She says the terrain is extremely tough, but firefighters are pushing through. The deaths of 21 dogs at an upstate New York boarding facility are under investigation. The Washington County Sheriff's Office says the dogs were found Sunday at Anastasia's Acres Dog Boarding Facility in Argyle. Another dog found there was taken to a veterinarian for treatment. It's not immediately clear what caused the deaths, and authorities said the facility's owners have been fully cooperating with the investigation. A notice posted on the dog boarding facility's social media accounts says it would be closed until further notice. Julie Walker, New York.
Elon Musk is targeting Apple and OpenAI in an antitrust lawsuit filed in a Texas federal court, alleging that the iPhone maker and the ChatGPT maker are teaming up to thwart competition in artificial intelligence. The complaint follows through on a threat Musk made 2 weeks ago when he accused Apple of unfairly favoring OpenAI and ChatGPT in the iPhone's App Store rankings for top AI apps. Musk's new lawsuit details a litany of grievances in an attempt to win monetary damages and a court order prohibiting the alleged illegal tactics. Some of the allegations echo an antitrust lawsuit filed against Apple last year by the U.S. Department of Justice. OpenAI has countered with a lawsuit against Musk, accusing Musk of ongoing harassment. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Seth Sutal, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks closed lower on Wall Street after a big jump last week on hopes for interest rate cuts from the Federal Reserve. The S&P 500 fell 0.4% Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gave back 349 points. It's about 0.8%. The Dow set an all-time high on Friday. Tech stocks did better than the rest of the market. That left the NASDAQ Composite down just 0.2%. Keurig Dr. Pepper sank 11.5%. The company said it'll buy Peet's Coffee owner J.D.E. Peet's in a deal worth about $18 billion. Treasury yields rose in the bond market. Seth Sutel, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Six-seeded American and defending Australian Open women's singles champion Madison Keys was upset by Renata Zarazua in three sets in the first round at the U.S. Open.
From pretty early on in the first set, it was pretty apparent that I wasn't playing great tennis today.
45-year-old Venus Williams lost her first Grand Slam match in 2 years, falling in three sets against Carolina Muhova.
People around the world were really rooting for me, and that felt great.
MLB Cal Raleigh has joined Mickey Mantle as the only switch hitters to hit 50 homers in a season. NFL, the Commanders and wide receiver Terry McLaurin agreed to a 3-year contract extension worth $96 million. Pass rusher Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals agreed on a 1-year deal worth $30 million. The Browns traded QB Kenny Pickett to the Raiders, who also re-signed 5-time Pro Bowl wideout Amari Cooper. Los Angeles Angels manager Ron Washington says he's recovering from quadruple bypass heart surgery. It's the first time he has publicly addressed the health issues that have sidelined him since late June. Washington had surgery June 30th. He was around the team Monday for the first time since then, but isn't returning to manage this season. Washington is the oldest manager in the majors at 73 and was last in the dugout for a game against the Yankees on June 19th. He experienced shortness of breath and appeared fatigued. Juventus says U.S. midfielder Weston McKennie has been subjected to racist abuse following the team's 2-0 season-opening win over Parma in Serie A play on Sunday. The Turin-based club posted a statement on social media saying McKennie faced discriminatory remarks from individuals in the away section while warming down with teammates on the pitch. Juventus pledged full cooperation with authorities to identify those responsible. Parma has also condemned the incident in a statement released Monday. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Tamin Al-Kitan, a spokesman for the UN's Human Rights Office, calls out the Israeli airstrikes on Nasser Hospital in Gaza that killed at least 20 people, including 5 journalists.
The killing of journalists in Gaza should shock the world, not into stunned silence, but into action.
Among the dead was 33-year-old Mariam Dago, a visual journalist who worked for the AP. The Committee to Protect Journalists says at least 197 have been killed since the Israel-Hamas war began on October 7, 2023, at least 189 of them in Gaza.
These journalists are the eyes and the ears of the whole world, and they must be protected.
Al-Kitan also calls for investigations that yield accountability and justice. Representatives from Britain, France and Germany, known as the E3 nations, are set to hold last-minute talks with Iranian officials amid a fast-approaching deadline for the Europeans to reimpose sanctions on Iran by triggering the so-called snapback mechanism. Concerns over the nuclear program have only grown since Tehran cut off all cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency. The Europeans agreed with the US earlier this year to set an end-of-August deadline for invoking the sanctions mechanism if Iran fails to meet several conditions, including resuming negotiations with the US over its nuclear program, allowing UN nuclear inspectors access to its nuclear sites, and accounting for over 400 kilograms of highly enriched uranium. Vietnam's state media says 3 people have died since Friday, over a dozen people injured, and thousands of houses damaged. The National Weather Service says the typhoon, which packed winds of up to 73 mph when hitting Vietnam's central region, brought torrential rain that triggered flash floods and landslide alerts. Tropical storm Kajiki made landfall in Vietnam on Monday afternoon after hitting China's Hainan Island. The storm weakening to a tropical depression over Laos, with heavy rains forecast for Tuesday in Thailand, and people have been warned to be vigilant about possible flooding into Wednesday. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Lebanon's Deputy Prime Minister on Monday called on Israel to adhere to a ceasefire agreement brokered by the United States and France last November, saying the deal remains unfulfilled. Speaking to the Associated Press, Tarek Mitri said that Lebanon has accepted a series of objectives proposed by the US, but stressed that the deal hinges on Israel halting its military operations.
This agreement is clear. It's about the cessation of hostilities. Israel ought to respect the cessation of hostilities, which has not happened yet.
Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israeli forces could start withdrawing from territory they hold in southern Lebanon after Beirut's decision earlier this month to work towards the disarmament of the militant group Hezbollah. The announcement comes after a visit to Israel by US envoy Tom Barrack, who last week said that the Lebanese government had done their part and it's now Israel's turn to comply. I'm Nayan Kim.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be.
Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.